life of a church and in the life of a Christian. And it's really a time of remembering. You know, it's, well, I remember growing up, I always used to look down there on the table down there, and I never knew what that was all about. It's funny because the church I grew up in, they did not do the Lord's Supper Sunday mornings. They always did it Sunday night. I never could figure that out because when I was growing up, we never went to church on Sunday night. So I didn't know, you know, what even any of it was about. Ever since I've been a pastor, really, even when I wasn't a pastor, every church I've ever been in since always did it Sunday morning and occasionally Sunday night or Wednesday night. But you know, it's a family time. It's a time of remembering. And in all the activities that we have around us, the day-to-day bustle and hustle, and this is a time that we stop and go back and think about what Jesus did for us. It's a symbol of a new covenant, a new testament between the church and Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And so we want to close out the world this morning and the outside influences this morning and think about the covenant that the Lord's Supper symbolizes to each of us as Christians. And I want us to read about it in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. And we're going to talk just a little bit about this before we partake of the Lord's Supper. In Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins.' But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is a new covenant between, or New Testament, it says here, between the church and Jesus that was established by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord's Supper was instituted in this passage that we've read this morning by Jesus as a way of remembering his death on the cross for our sins. And Jesus began the Lord's Supper to remind us of this covenant. So what are the things we should remember this morning as we partake of this meal of remembrance? First of all, you know, you write this down, we can remember that it's a covenant to the death. You know, the Lord's Supper carries with it meaning and remembrance of Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus said, "This is my body." Jesus said, "This is my blood," or "Remember this body, which was broken for you on the cross, and remember my blood that was shed for you on the cross. Remember my death. It was for you. Remember that you could do nothing to save yourself. Remember that you deserve death, but that I died in your place so that you could eventually live again." And I encourage you to remember this morning, to take time from your busy and schedule and the activities that you have and the worries that you have, and remember that Jesus paid it all for you. And you know that chorus that we sing often about Jesus paying it all. Let's sing that. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. You know, every time you get to worrying, every time you get to thinking about the things that you think are so important, all the things that are controlling your life and that you seem to have no control over. You need to remember that little chorus. Jesus paid it all. All to Him you owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and it still does. But Jesus washed it white as snow. Remember that. And Jesus also wanted us to remember that the Lord's Supper symbolizes a covenant of forgiveness. Jesus said that this is the blood, this juice down here that's under this thing right here, right there. That represents the blood of Jesus. Now, it's not real blood. It's juice. But it represents the blood. Jesus said that this blood, this juice, represents my blood that was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. God is ready to forgive you of your sins this morning, no matter what they might be. Not because of what you may be able to do. Sometimes I hear people say, well, if so-and-so would just get saved, just think of what they could do for the Lord Jesus. You know what? Jesus doesn't save you for what you can do for Him. Jesus saves you because He loves you. Now, if you can do something for Him, that's all fine and good. But the reason He saves you is because of His great love for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He died to shed His precious blood for you. And remember this morning, dear Christian, that without what Jesus did on the cross, without what Jesus did when He shed His blood for your sins, your blood, your own blood, would be required. And if Jesus is not your Savior this morning, then you will be required to give your own blood, but that won't be enough. That won't be enough because your blood is tainted with sin. And only the blood of the precious Lamb of God is untainted and pure and good enough to pay for your sins. And your blood is not good enough because without Jesus, you will and are headed for an eternal and everlasting hell and punishment because there's nothing you can do to prevent this. Only what Jesus did when He sacrificed Himself on the cross in your place. But don't despair. If you are a Christian and you're entangled in sin, or if you are lost and on your way down the tube to hell, as you earnestly try to work your way to heaven, do not despair, because Jesus' blood is there for you. It is the way. It does provide salvation. And it does provide forgiveness. If we can just accept His gift today, of His salvation today. If you would, get a hymn book. We're going to sing hymn 245, the first verse. 245.
I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was
Listen to it. Sing it again.
Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
That's where you find liberty. That's where you find freedom. That's where you find relief from all of the struggles in this world, from everything that threatens to overwhelm you, from all of your sin at Calvary. And I pray that you will seek Jesus at Calvary. And when we take of the Lord's Supper, Jesus wants us to remember that it's a covenant of hope. A covenant of hope. We can remember when we partake of this meal, the hope of the cross. Because the hope of the cross is salvation. The hope of the cross is forgiveness. The hope of the cross is knowing that the price has been paid and we do not have to work our way to heaven anymore. We do not have to try to work our way to heaven anymore. You know, all the old jokes about getting to heaven and them asking you all these questions and seeing if you've been good enough to get into heaven, that's what they are, a joke. Because in reality, there's nothing you can do that's good enough to get you into heaven. But there was something Jesus could do that was good enough to get you into heaven and that is good enough to get you into heaven, and that He did on the cross of Calvary. And that is the hope of that cross. We can place our hope and take our stand on Christ. He's the solid rock. And what He did for us on Calvary gives us something to stand on. You know the song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Did you hear that word "all"? You know, a lot of people think, well, I could just place my hope on my mama or my daddy. No. Mama and daddy gonna sink. There's a lot of mamas and daddies buried up there on that hill out there, aren't there? I'm gonna put my hope in my wife or my husband. No. They're going to sink. I'm going to put my hope in America. I praise God for America. God bless America. No, you can't put your hope in America. Patriotic as I am, it ain't going to get me to heaven. You know, there is nothing you can place your hope on besides Jesus Christ. He is the solid rock. All other ground is sinking ground. And our problem in the world in which we live today is that so many people have placed their hope on sinking ground instead of the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we come to partake of this meal, let us remember these things. Let us remember the death of Jesus that He died for us. Let us remember the forgiveness that is possible because of the shed blood of Jesus. And let us remember that the hope of this forgiveness and the hope that it can give us. But let us also realize that the partaking of this meal is a commitment to God to share in Jesus' life and suffering until He returns In verse 29, I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, there's two senses that this passage is recognized. One is, after he pays the price on the cross, then I knew that he enters into his new spiritual kingdom that we're all a part of. But it also is a sense of when he returns, we also are going to be entering into a new sense of his kingdom as well. And so it is a real promise that we can have hope up until his return. It's the hope of his return. We can have hope in Jesus. And that hope encourages us to obedience. Because you know what? At some point, we will be standing before Jesus, and he is going to be saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or not. And so that gives us something to encourage us to be faithful to him while we're here. It gives us something to be committed to obedience for. Not for salvation, because once we accept Jesus, we are saved. But for service to him, our King. Paul tells us that in the early church, many Christians became sick and died when they took the Lord's Supper unworthily. And that means that because of the sin that was in their lives, they were just kind of mocking what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And we don't want to do that. So this morning I'm going to give three invitations. The first invitation is this one. If you are not saved, it isn't going to hurt you to partake of this meal. You know, people who do not know Jesus as their Savior are going to hell. And drinking a little grape juice and eating a little cracker isn't going to change that one way or the other, because you stand condemned already. But I encourage you, you do not have to stand in that condemnation anymore because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. You can come for salvation this morning, and I invite you to do that. Another invitation I will give is this. If you're saved this morning and you're not committed to obeying Jesus, if you partake of this meal, you will be doing it unworthily. You'll be mocking Jesus. And somehow that's going to affect your life. I don't know what really the effect will be. Paul says you can get sick and even die. But I don't know what kind of sickness that will be. I don't really know, but I know that the Bible says it's going to affect you, Christian. So I encourage you, if you need to repent. Don't mock Jesus this morning after what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. If you deny him your absolute obedience, that's just what you're doing. And I would also extend an invitation for those who might come to join the church. You know, we invite all Christians here to participate in the meal with us because this is a meal for all Christians. But wouldn't it be great to partake of this morning as a brand new member of the church? So I encourage you in that. So our invitation is for people to come to know Jesus as their Savior, for Christians to surrender to Jesus in obedience. And our invitation is, perhaps if you're looking for a church home, to come join our church. Come to accept Jesus. Come to recommit yourself to the absolute obedience to him. Or perhaps come to join our church. We got another hymn. So we're going to stand on this one. Normally, we don't do invitation hymns. Normally, we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed so the Holy Spirit can work. But the Lord just led me to do this. This is a question. It's a question song for you to ask yourself as we are singing this time of invitation. So we're going to sing all four verses of 229. Seated. Ask our deacons that are helping to come forward at this time.